The Enigma Cube, written by Douglas E. Richards and read by Dan Bittner.
Part 1. Enigma, noun, a person or thing that is mysterious, puzzling, or difficult to understand. 1. The outskirts of Spokane, Washington, 2027. Dr. Kelly Connolly stood by the entrance to a small, single-story factory building and watched as a civilian SUV arrived at a guard gate and the driver stopped to show credentials. The fence around the facility was laughably benign, unable to deter even a modestly capable 10-year-old. No rolls of wicked razor wire crowning every inch of its perimeter, and no deadly levels of electricity coursing through its metal veins. The gatehouse was also the very picture of innocence, as was the attendant. There wasn't a hint of weaponry or military presence, and there were no spikes embedded in the pavement that could be automatically lifted to shred the sturdiest of tires as easily as a pin could pop a child's balloon. But, like the faux factory itself, built at the edge of a vast woods, the perimeter was a deception, and far more secure than it seemed. In fact, the site was ringed with enough hidden firepower and other deterrents to ward off a small attacking army. Not that any of it would ever need to be used. Military installations raised eyebrows, piqued curiosity, drew attention. Small factories, appearing to be only minimally secure on the other hand, drew nothing but yawns. Kelly sighed.
"I don't suppose there is any way I can get out of this," she said to the lanky, balding man beside her.
Dr. Harry Salazar looked amused.
"Trust me, Kelly," he said. "You'll enjoy this visit more than you think."
"That would almost have to be true," she replied wryly.
She and Harry Salazar, vaunted director of Project Uru, had gotten along famously since she had joined his team 7 months earlier, which in this instance was more of a curse than a blessing. She was a department head, yes, but only one of six, and yet she alone had been assigned the duty to join Salazar as a Walmart greeter to welcome Major Justin Boyd, a high-ranking black operations officer, and give him a guided tour. Kelly knew full well why she was now with her boss, playing hostess, while the other department heads were allowed to duck this odious duty. The director of Uru liked being around her more than the others. It was as simple as that. Salazar had confided in her that he found her to be the most polished of the departmental heads when it came to both social graces and personality. She was also female, and while Salazar would never admit it, she suspected he was playing to the major's more primal instincts. Hoping that if he were the typical military hard-ass, he would be less so in her presence, or better yet, find her attractive. And while she didn't cause auto accidents when she strolled along streets full of male drivers, this latter hope wasn't out of the question. Her smooth skin, large emerald eyes, girl-next-door beauty, and athletic body never failed to attract male attention.
"Trust me, Kelly," repeated Salazar as the corners of his mouth turned up into a knowing smile. "You're going to be pleasantly surprised."
"What don't I know about this?"
"You have very low expectations for this visit, I get that. You haven't dealt with anyone in the military before, have you?"
Kelly shook her head. "This would be the first."
"I figured," said Salazar. "Scientists tend to think that anyone able to rise through the ranks of the military almost has to be a small-minded, warmongering hard-ass. But some are very good men and women, intelligent, compassionate even, really."
Kelly sighed again. "I know I'm stereotyping," she said, "but while he might not be a bloodthirsty barbarian, there's no way he's a pacifist either, which is why you don't see a lot of Amish generals," she added with a grin.
Salazar laughed.
"True, but let me tell you more about the Major. You've never met his boss, Colonel Tom Osborne, either," he said, referring to the man